Good morning. It's John Williams here till noon on social media, WGN King John, wishing you a good weekend in advance. Remember, we always close the show at 11:45 with The Bright Side on Fridays. People call in or text in and they just say things that are making them happy, however big or small. I mean, it is sometimes the most minute things like, we got a Roomba. We were talking about robot vacuums the other day, to my son's coming home from Afghanistan or something like that. It might just be that you're anxious for the Super Bowl. I was thinking about the Super Bowl as really the greatest American invention. It is our national holiday. We have the 4th of July and Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all of those things. But where is it said that holidays have to be holy days or days of national significance, like the winning of a battle or honoring a famous American? A holiday can be whatever you want. The Super Bowl is such an American creation. It's our football game. It's our food. It's our TV and movie stars and commercials. It's our favorite singers on the stage at halftime. You can't pack more Americana into 3 hours than you will get Sunday night on TV.
But you just hit something there at the end of your commentary.
Yeah.
Sunday night.
I couldn't believe the start time for this thing.
Well, it's the same every year.
I forget every year. I thought it was like around 4 or I don't know. It should be earlier. It
they
should
have be. To accommodate, the West Coast.
It should be earlier. But they don't.
Dismissing half the population.
Mary, that's the thing. Even with the playoffs, they play the NFC Championship game now. It's basically a night game. People are going to watch those games in the afternoon. People would watch the Super Bowl if it was a 1 or 2 o'clock.
5:30 our time kickoff.
6:30 on the East Coast. That means kids.
7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10.
I don't have kids on the East Coast, but I'm just saying, a school night.
What would be the harm if you did it at 1 in the afternoon?
That's my point.
Everybody got there. You got up. You put on your sweatshirts. You put your wings on and you go.
Would be the 2 harm? 2 o'clock in the East Coast.
It works for college
games. Why not play it on Saturday night?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I guess the ratings are not as accommodating.
But it's the Super Bowl.
It
you're going to have
matter.
Ratings.
You're going to create
you can play it
ratings.
At 2 in the morning on a Tuesday and you're going to have ratings.
Every now and then I click around when something big's happening, like the Super Bowl or 7th game of the World Series, the Oscars, and go, I wonder what else is on, just to see. Because people are watching those, and I believe I am right. My estimated probability of accuracy of the following statement is in the low 60s.
Yeah.
More people will not watch the Super Bowl on TV than will watch the Super Bowl on TV. I mean, it'll be number one. It'll be the most viewed show of the year, probably. But still, in total, less than 50% of the population will be watching the game. To say nothing of the population, period, of the people even watching TV, more than half of the TVs will be tuned to something other than the Super Bowl. 64% final answer. I'll have Ella double check on that. Let's go into the newsroom.
Steve. It's always the Puppy Bowl.
Do they still do the Lingerie Bowl, by the way?
Is
there something
know.
Like that? Boy, that sounds dated, doesn't it?
But even the Puppy Bowl now has cats and goats. So it's
goats.
There were goats on the sideline last year.
Can't we leave well enough alone? So the Super Bowl, you may have heard, is this weekend. LIV, live, for those of you that are trying to save time. One of the ads that's getting attention in advance is the Sonata commercial. This is for the Sonata that has the technology that it's called Smart Park. The car will park itself. I don't even think you have to be in the car. You just hit a button and the car parks itself. The ad features John Krasinski, Chris Evans, and Rachel Dratch. The Boston-born stars appear in the commercial. The spot shows Evans and Dratch watching people try to fit into a tight parking space before Krasinski pulls up and lets the Smart Park feature auto park the car.
Look at these two troublemakers.
Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Wicked car. Is that new?
Yeah, it's a Sonata. Let me pack it.
Oh, you're not fitting your car in there.
Chris, stop being a smarty pants, all right? Look who's got Smart Park.
Smart Park?
Just hit the clicker. Car parks itself.
It's smart.
It's wicked smart. And I can park it anywhere.
How about Dorchester?
Parked it.
Foxborough?
Parked it.
The Garden?
Parked it.
Saugus?
Parked it.
Swampscott?
Revere?
The Harbor?
Are you kidding me? I parked it and then unparked it.
You unparked it?
Kid.
That Sonata ain't got no driver.
That's all right. He's got Smart Park.
Hey, you can park there.
He's got Smart Park!
Hey, whoa, it's Big Poppy.
Wicked smart.
This is a ghost car.
There's two versions. One you'll see on TV is 29 seconds. The online one goes a minute and a half. And it's a minute and a half of fun. It's just the three of them standing there with those soft A's for Smart Pack. And, of course, there's a cameo. I guess I didn't intend for you to hear it, but there's a cameo at the end for a famous Bostonian at the end of the spot, which is pretty clever. So I'm going to run out and buy a Sonata and then just stand around and Smart Pack it. The other one that's getting a little attention early on here is the Cheetos MC Hammer spot. I hope this works for enough people because you got to be of a certain age to know who MC Hammer is, right? Yes. Producer Elif, do you know who MC Hammer is?
I'm no Billie Eilish. I do know who he is.
Billie Eilish famously couldn't recall some famous rockers when she was on with Jimmy Kimmel, but Producer Elif, who's just a little bit older than Eilish...
A lot older.
Okay, but Eilish is what, 18 now?
Yeah.
18, and you were mid-20s, right?
I'm going to be 28 soon, actually.
Oh, so you're 10 years older than her.
Decade.
So, MC Hammer, was he a one-hit wonder? You can't touch this. And he had that funky suit on, and he danced really crazy.
Pants.
And it was just a craze. I mean, he was it. And then he kind of went away. He has reappeared... in a 15-second Super Bowl commercial. He's eating Cheetos. What happens when you eat Cheetos to your fingers?
They turn orange.
They turn orange. He's playing a white-keyed piano, of course, with orange fingers. And he's working on a tune.
Wait. I can't touch this.
That's where he has the epiphany. So he's, wait, I can't touch my piano keys with these orange fingers. He says, I can't touch this. Then he goes, wait, I've got something here. And then you realize that stupid song is born. Thanks to Cheetos.
You know, Cheetos has announced an official name for the dusty cheese residue.
That has a name?
It has a name now. It is Cheetle.
As in Don?
It's C-H-E-E-T-L-E. Cheetle. The orange and red dust symbolic of true Cheetos fandom.
I guess so.
Frito-Lay released that, by the way.
So there's MC Hammer with some Cheetle on his fingers. And you watch now, that song is going to get a lot of downloads. By Monday, that song will be trending. Yeah, he's going to make some money because people, I presume he has the rights to the song, are going to go ahead and download it. And somehow in the... internet, he's going to get himself a check.
It's come a long way since he was working for Charlie O'Finley in the Oakland A's when he was a kid.
Wow, Dave Bennett, boy. Sports trivia, right? And music for 200, please.
That, yeah.
Wow, he was a what?
He worked for the A's, and Charlie Finley, who was a Chicagoan, owned the Oakland Athletics, took a liking to him. I don't remember the whole story, but I know that he worked for. For the Oakland A's.
Isn't that funny?
Back in the Finley era, and he was, I think he was a bat boy, and did some other stuff.
You know, the other, locally, by the way, so just speaking of commercials that you'll see on the Super Bowl, the president has a commercial. I saw that yesterday. It's really good. It's not hyperbolic. It's got facts, and it's just a soaring, patriotic, strong, love America ad. The kind you would expect from certainly Donald Trump and seems to be appropriate for the Super Bowl. Nobody will get ticked off. You know, he's not saying anything bad about anybody. He's just saying, we've had a great run. You might not like anything about Trump or what he says, but in watching the ad, I thought, if you're going to run a campaign ad as the president of the United States at a divisive time, this one strikes the right note. It's about America. It's about patriotism. It literally has jets soaring overhead as it touts some accomplishments. And it's a very good ad, I think, for the president. The other ad locally that's getting interest is this, and we're finally going to get a chance to talk to this guy, is David McNeil's commercial. He's the guy from WeatherTech, that great big company you see on 55 in Bolingbrook, where they make all kinds of stuff for your car. He's got a dog that was told 99% chance the dog isn't going to live. He took it to the University of Wisconsin Veterinary School, and with a 1% chance survival rate, they gave the dog chemotherapy, and the dog lived. I don't know what that cost him. But I do know the ad thanking the University of Wisconsin is a $6 million thank you note. And the spin on that, and I believe this is true, isn't just a vanity project for the guy and the dog they say that when people, he wants you to donate to the Wisconsin Veterinary School, maybe some other veterinary school, but when we increase, say, cancer treatments for dogs, we increase cancer treatments for human beings. We learn a lot because of the testing that's done on cats and dogs and rabbits and things like that. So if we learn something from the treatment his dog got, that may benefit you or me down the road. So good for him. And what a story. We'll tell. I wonder if the dog knows that they're in a Super Bowl ad. It's 9:27. Elif said, take a break. We'll get you into the newsroom. Oh, we got another minute here? Okay. Thank you for that, Elif. So he's going to say hi to us in the 9:35 hour, or around 11:35, right? I don't know how much money some people are willing to spend on their pets, but I'm kind of curious about that today. And I'm just interested in you texting me that number today. How much money was there what extraordinary thing, put it this way, what extraordinary thing have you done for your rabbit, your goldfish, your cockatoo? Dave has a cockatoo and a rabbit, your cat, your dog. And if you care to share with us what that cost, and we're not yelling at anybody, are we? We're just saying, wow. Listen, I have a Daisy, the Dizzy Dapple Dachshund, and Brenda and I have spent the kind of money making her life whole that I used to just laugh at. I'd say, no way. And now, of course, it's what you do. And sometimes you hate to do it, but we haven't extended her life by just a few days or weeks or months. She's having years of a nice life. But it's not been an inexpensive proposition. And at no point was it, well, okay, then skip it. Which is what I used to say. I used to go, well, I'm not spending $1,000 on the knee. Are you kidding me? They can limp. You know, that was old John. New John is, okay, what's it going to take? Have you done anything like that, Mr. Rennert?
Nothing that extraordinary, but I would. I mean, I get it. They're part of your family. I mean, it would be hard to say no.
Dialysis for a dog, cancer treatment for a dog, brain tumor treatment for a dog and cat.
Back surgery. My granddog went through that. I won't even say how much it was, but it was a crazy amount.
This is the thing, too. Back surgery. I've got wiener dogs. Wiener dogs are mostly backs.
Right.
I mean, that's all they are.
Yeah.
It's a back with a nose. That's a dog. That's a wiener dog. That's all I got. So it's just like a chiropractic's dream walking down the road. Every time Daisy hops off the couch or when we used to let the dog go up or down the stairs, we didn't want them to. We'd put a gate there because a wiener dog is like a slinky trying to get up and down the steps. It's very torturous. So just text to 312-981-7200. The extraordinary things and or costs you've done for your pets. Can we hear that, please? It's 9:39. I'm just reading our text messages. I said, tell me about your extraordinary efforts you went to keep your dog or cat or bunny rabbit or goldfish or cockatoo alive. We'll visit with the guy who took his, what kind of dog was it? It was a golden retriever to the University of Wisconsin Veterinary School. They were able to keep the dog alive, and to thank them, he spent $6 million on a Super Bowl ad, to which somebody said he should have just sent that to the University of Wisconsin and helped out the veterinary school. But, you spend your money any way you want. I'm not going to judge this guy's head or heart. If you're successful enough to have $6 million on a Super Bowl ad, that's fine, and maybe $7 million will be generated when people get the message. I said, so what extraordinary lengths have you gone to make your pets well? John, we have a Maine Coon cat who has a torn ACL two times. We spent $2,000 apiece on those operations. We love our animals so much you just can't put a price on it. Hey, a few of you have got Sunshine. Hammond, Indiana's checking in with Sunshine. Take a picture. 312-981-7200. Send it to us, please. John, we've been thinking about buying pet insurance. Our Steve Dale, the pet expert, who's such a renowned pet expert that the National Association of Veterinarians is naming its media award after him, said you should get pet insurance. There's two kinds. And get the one you want and need.
I have pet insurance, and it saved me thousands of dollars.
How about that?
Thousands.
I have it, too. It's saved me nothing. Except I pay every month.
John, our last dog, Ernie Banks, had bladder cancer. In his last year, we spent $10,000 on chemo and acupuncture. And the list goes on.
Wow.
Elaine, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, Elaine. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, hi, John. Yeah, I'm just calling. We had spent probably between $2,000 and $3,000 on our dog, our 6-year-old dog, who was diagnosed with ACL tear, had to have surgery, and we put her through all that, and we went through it too. And then we didn't realize the recovery is similar to that of a human being, so we had to go with a 6-week recovery period. My husband and I took day and night shifts with her because she also had an anxiety disorder and wouldn't keep that lampshade on and wouldn't keep her.
Had
to make sure she didn't get at the incision.
Right.
So we devoted our 6 weeks and then some to taking care of her. Took her out on a leash so she couldn't chase the squirrels or the birdies.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, if they start running too soon, they injure that, and then they're out for another season. You can't have that happen.
And God forbid they got another football season out.
Thanks for the call, Elaine. Good for you. Good for your pet. Hey, Sharon, you're on WGN Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
Okay. My grandson had a rescue dog. And it was still a puppy, and he got a hold of his sock and swallowed it.
Oh, yeah.
They spent between $5,000 and $6,000 just for the operation to get it out. And, of course, there's been a lot of other expenses, but it was like, oh, my gosh.
Dog, don't eat the sock. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I know so many dogs that have eaten socks and have intestinal issues for many years to come.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, none of us has $5,000. But if your dog swallows a sock, you find $5,000. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call. What were you going to say, Producer Ella?
My sister's cat fell out the window of the second floor, and it's not funny.
I'm laughing at all of these.
Sorry, that's
I am
fun.
Not laughing. I am not
it's
laughing.
It's not funny.
It's terrible.
It was really sad. She called me in the middle of the night, and she broke her little leg. She was less than a year old, and it cost $8,000.
Oh, my goodness.
But they fixed it, and the cat's fine now.
I'm sure the cat is.
It's crazy.
I know. I'm going to laugh at all of these and cry. I mean, I don't know why I laugh. Us humans, huh? How about the species? We're nuts. By the way, Dennis, what did you want to say? You're on the air.
The McNeil song.
Boom. Oh, Dennis, you just cut out. We've been having a little bit of that lately. It was something about the WeatherTech guy who got this whole conversation going. He's the one that spent the $6 million on the ad thanking the University of Wisconsin Veterinary School for fixing his dog. Had some cancer. They used some chemo, and they got it fixed for less than $6 million, I'll bet. We'll pick it up here in a minute. Remember, I just said you could text us your story. You don't have to tell us what you're spending, but you can if you want. Evidently, you do. Gloria introduced a bill that would remove the loyalty oath. They ask you to sign a form affirming that you are not affiliated directly or indirectly with any communist organization. Can you believe that?
Is there a pledge that you won't take money under the table?
I know. Really, if I was going to...
Good idea, Steve Bertrand, and there is not.
But making pledges.
If we're going to ask them to sign a pledge saying they're not commies, and if you run for office in Illinois, we learned this yesterday, you have to sign a pledge saying you are not a member of the Communist Party or a Communist Front organization.
Well, you can decline to sign it, but then...
The paperwork is there, and if you don't sign it, well, that looks a little funny now, doesn't it?
Everyone knows.
And if we're going to... So if the form is there, add another line. Promise me you won't take any money under the table. Promise me you won't put deficient asphalt on the streets in exchange for money for red light cameras, please. Okay, we're talking about the Super Bowl ad thanking the University of Wisconsin Vet School. I said, tell me about how much money or the great lengths you've gone to make your pet's life better.
Hey, Elizabeth, you're on the air.
Hi. I lived in the little village. This was a long time ago. I'm 86 years old now. But my dog had broken her leg. And, of course, at that time, I was 12 years old, they put dogs down. Yeah. And I cried and cried. My mom says, all right, you can try the vet. But we had no nearby vets. We had to go all the way to Cicero. So I held the dog, and at the time we had red streetcars, you know, with the conductor at the front and the cashier at the back. So he allowed me to stand at the back. I rode on the streetcar. People looked at me. I went to the vet, and he said, well, we'll try. So he fashioned a splint, and I cried and I cried, and I said, I had 50 cents in my hand. I said, I'll pay you every week. He looked at me, and he said, no charge. No charge. And I went home, and I had the dog for 8 more years.
How about that?
Never forgot it. Never forgot that vet either.
Yeah, do you remember the name?
No, yeah. But I know it was in Cicero.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm happy you had that much more time with that dog. What a lovely story. Thanks for sharing that, Elizabeth.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Yeah, back in the day when the parents said, you want to fix the dog, you take care of it, you drive him.
Can you imagine
doing that today?
A little girl with a sick dog, broken leg, and the parents says, here's a token, you take the L out of town, go find a vet, and see if you can scrape up enough allowance to pay for it.
Right.
We were a better nation as a result of that. Now... $6,000 for a torn ACL that we put on our credit cards for our rabbits.
Or guinea pigs.
Emily, you're on WGN. Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
So we adopted a dog, a rescue dog, thinking that we'd give him a better life and he'd be pretty easy. And the first month we had him, he ate so many rocks at daycare that we had to give him stomach surgery for $4,000.
Steve Grzanich, do you have the number? Actually, he's left the desk and Bertrand's in there. Does anybody have the number for a good pet insurance company or quarry? That's, I feel your pain, Emily. That's just, but you, I presume you did it too?
We did it, and then we got pet insurance right afterwards, and it saved our butts because he's needed 3 more surgeries.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to quit being a broadcaster. I'm going to go be a veterinarian because I think there's money to be had out there.
Yep, for those of us who are willing to spend anything on our pets.
Amen. Emily, you have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Take care.
Have a good weekend. And my understanding is that vet school is not only difficult to get through, it's just like med school. It's also expensive, just like med school. And I'll say something else about the veterinarians that I know, because I've come to know many of them, or at least appreciate their work. That is challenging work. And, you know, we're chuckling here about all of this, but God bless the men and women who work at veterinary offices and who make all they see is people with sad faces walking and going, what am I going to do? And I can't talk to the dog or cat, and it's going to cost me money. And they just seem to have such a bright, positive spin on things. One last thing I've just learned a little bit about through Steve Dale and Matt Bubala, who works here and produces a syndicated pet show with Steve Dale, and that is it's hard on those staffs to put that many pets down. You put a cat down or dog down once, twice, a few times in your life. They do it every day. And often it's pets they know. It takes a real emotional toll on those people.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, I've only had to do it once, and my wife and I are just hysterically crying in the office, and the vet had tears in his eye.
And then he's got to go do it again and again, or see somebody else about something entirely different. When Fred, America's largest wiener dog, died, the dog that got us into the vicious wiener cycle that we're in, when he went down, we were a wreck.
Yeah. It's tough.
I did one of those things people do where they post an essay on Facebook and cried, and then people read it and they cried. Like it's never happened before. 32% of all essays on Facebook are about putting pets down. It's just amazing. But I couldn't help myself.
By the way, that surgery to remove the pompon from the dog's stomach, John, I don't think you could do that.
You put the dog down, you give it some dog gas, and then you just shave his belly.
A little more to it than that.
You kind of tap, and go, I'll bet it's right there. You get a knife out. You go, hey, there's the pom-pom. You take it out, probably with tweezers, and then you just sew her back up. And then you take off the dog gas, and you've got a dog again. $6,000.
You don't even have to sew. You can do it with glue now.
Yeah, staple. Chunk, 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 chunk. You know who could do this, Steve Bertrand?
Lou Manfredini.
Lou Manfredini. Except that he's on vacation right now, he would be on line two. Chief Zeman will join us a little bit ago. I think I gave her a hard I pronunciation a moment ago. Kristen Zeman, the chief of police for the Aurora Police Department. Congressman Bill Foster is going to be in our studio. I just saw the congressman in the hall, and he said, you know, all I'm trying to do is get the Senate to bring up our bill, debate it, pay attention to it. It's a gun safety. Henry Platt plant in Aurora left 5 employees dead after a shooting. 6 Aurora police officers were injured. That was in February of last year. It's beyond time, he says, for Congress to enact common sense gun violence legislation to prevent these types of tragedies from wrecking communities. I asked them if the president is going to call on Chief Zeman because her staff showed great heroism. They fought valiantly. And the president famously loves the police. They don't think he's going to call on her. She's the guest of a Democrat. But it's also confusing to me because I don't sometimes know what side the police are on relative to gun ownership. And I'm not sure where the president is either at times. At least it seems to me like he's a great advocate for the police. But the police don't all love the number of guns that are out there. So it's kind of, I wouldn't say mixed messages, but it's a little confusing to read the room on this with some of those people. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't recall the last time. We get a lot of texts on this show. I appreciate your calls and texts. 312-981-7200. But I don't recall getting as many text messages as we are getting today about your pets. We shouldn't be surprised. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll visit with that guy who is the founder of WeatherTech, Dan McNeil, who got his dog taken care of at the University of Wisconsin Veterinary School. And he was so happy about that, so appreciative, that he bought a $6 million Super Bowl commercial, which is what some of you spent on your dog's ACL. He spent $6 million on a Super Bowl commercial to thank them and, I guess, encourage people to support veterinary schools.
I spend money at his company for Christmas this year.
Brenda really wants me to.
That's funny because it was for Sharon. Oh, yeah. Some floor mats.
Brenda goes, we've got to do something about this. And I keep saying yes. We always have that conversation in the car. Then I get out of the car. And then I stop thinking about it where I get into the house or the office where I might actually do that. I wonder how many of the orders for those mats are made in the car where they just go, that's it. Do, 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 do.
You just go online and show them what kind of car you have and they send it to you.
I suspect that's how it works, Steve. I'm telling you that the distance traveled from the door of my car.
All right, text me your make and model and I'll order one for
I'm
you.
I'm telling you.
Just for Brenda's side.
That would solve a lot of problems for me and Brenda. 708 texted in simply time. Surgery for a mass cell removal, $1,200. Scratched cornea, $1,400. Medication, $65. Dog food for weight control, $98 every 7 weeks. Ear infections, too. No other information, just thought they'd share that. And that's what we do. I don't suppose they do that sort of thing in other countries. That may be a uniquely American phenomenon.
I have a friend from Ireland, and he pointed out to me many years ago, he said, that's one of the key differences between our countries. You know, he said he was astounded at how much money we spent on pets.
John, I put my boxer dog Selma through chemo. It helps when you tell these stories if you give us the name of the pet. Ernie Banks, Selma, Maggie. I paid $8,000. She went through it, and I was happy I had her by my side for another year. I would spend $8,000 again.
A year. Think of that. That was for a year.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing. Sometimes you don't know. You might buy the dog 10 years, might buy them 1 month. It might buy them a full year of happiness or unhappiness. You just don't know. If just once the dogs could say, you know, I think it's time, that would help so much. Justin Kaufman, our very own Justin Kaufman's all-time Chicago movie brackets. have ended in this Super Bowl week championship. It's Ferris Bueller's day off against the Blues Brothers. He started out, I believe, with, was it a 32-team field or was it 64? He had all of these Chicago-based movies. And he asked his listeners to tell us which is the best Chicago movie. It's come down to Blues Brothers versus Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And none of those are bad choices. That's your 49ers and your Chiefs right there. And I would go with Ferris Bueller's Day Off just because I liked that movie more. I've seen it more. But how can you argue? Maybe the quintessential one is Blues Brothers because it doesn't care. It's not trying. It's just a movie. It's Chicago. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a different movie, but what fun, huh? By the way, I watched The Assistant, the new Kitty Green movie. Green's in town next month, the director of this movie, and we're going to talk to her. The review of The Assistant in the New York Times begins this way. The specter of Harvey Weinstein looms over every frame of The Assistant, though we never see the face of the anonymous New York film company executive whose toxic behavior drives the story. Julie Garner, who you may have seen in Ozark, is Jane the assistant, and it's about one day in her life. It's about from her starting the coffee pot in the office in the morning to late at night. It's about one day in this lady's life. She is the assistant to a Harvey Weinstein-type character. They never call him that, but you get the idea. Matthew McFadden is the company's HR director. And he's so good in his small role, he's the highlight of even the trailers. You may have seen him as the bumbling to the top son-in-law in Succession. He is so good. It is a grim, slow, terrific movie about a day in her life. Some people will come out of this movie saying, I kept waiting for something to happen. But what's happening is just beyond that assistant's door and how the people deal with it and aid and abet and ignore and push back on what this movie executive is doing in there. Oh, it's a good movie. I suspect some people aren't going to like it, but the critics do, and I'm not a critic, but I sure liked it. This is WGN. John Williams here. It's a Friday. That means we'll close the show at 11:40. Where will you be at 11:40 or 11:45? We do something called The Bright Side. You call in, tell us some good news in your world. We'll all smile. It's a group hug that works every single time on the radio. Here's a press release from the congressman. Today, Congressman Bill Foster, the Democrat, has announced his guest for the State of the Union address is Kristen Zeeman, the chief of police for the Aurora Police Department. They're both in our studio. Congressman, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, doing fine. And, thanks for having us.
Chief, thanks for coming in. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
I'm just going to start with you for a second, Chief. West Aurora High School grad, correct?
Yes.
Bachelor's degree from Waubonsie Community College.
Aurora University. Yeah. The Associate degree from Waubonsie.
Bachelor's from Aurora University. Yes. I just noticed Waubonsie Community College because I was a Joliet Junior College grad.
Okay.
We used to play you guys all the time. We had some storied games between Waubonsie and JUCO. Aurora University, then Boston University. You earned a second master's degree in Homeland Security. And
works out.
Was that your goal someday, to be a cop and then to be a top cop?
Yes, always. Well, not so much to be a top cop. I really hadn't planned on that, but just in the series of events, I decided to go for it, but I've my entire career has been in Aurora.
I guess little boys someday want to grow up and be police officers and maybe police chiefs someday. There's no reason little girls wouldn't either,
yeah,
huh?
Exactly.
But
yeah.
Is that the exception?
It is. Well, we're only women. Females in law enforcement are about 12% of the entire industry, and then even less than 1% for chiefs of police and executive positions.
Is it harder for a female to marshal the support of then an 80-some percent male-dominated force?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that police officers look for character and competency, and coming up in my department, I've never had issues with that.
What happened at the Henry Pratt plant last year?
Yeah, February 15th was the worst day, a dark, very dark day in the City of Lights, and we responded to a mass shooting event that happened at 1:24 in the afternoon, and a worker from the Henry Pratt facility opened fire on five of the employees there and killed all five, and my officers responded to the scene, and as each were responding one by one, were shot by that mass shooter.
there's a scene that's been described to me. Tell me if this is true. So here's the plant. There's the door. They know there's gunfire and maybe death's inside. And the officers more or less line up, and one by one, not knowing what's on the other side of that door, with their guns drawn, go into the line of fire.
That's correct. We got word that there were people inside that were being shot, and the shots fired were obviously we heard from the outside as the officers were responding. And you are correct. One by one, they went to go and try and stop that shooter, and one by one continued to get shot. And
know that their turn is next. I spoke to somebody who was in that line and described for me dispassionately that that's the job. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I will go next.
Yeah. And what's interesting about that day and about that, what you just said, is the mindset, is that when you talk to these officers afterwards, they said it never occurred to us to stand down. And it's that mindset. We had one officer, Officer Adam Miller, who was shot in the eye, and over the air, he said, "I'm shot, but I'm still in the fight." And so not only is the training and the preparation that we had for that day all came into play, but also that attitude, that mindset of survival.
Six Aurora police officers were injured. How are they all doing?
Thank you for asking. I really appreciate that, because that's who I'm representing today and always. So five of them were shot. One was injured, and they are not all back to work yet. But I will say that they're all going to be okay. Their physical wounds are healing, but of course we're still dealing with the emotional wounds.
That's the thing that I thought about afterwards, was we all were just so struck by the tragedy of it, and there was no silver lining, but we were grateful that the officers weren't all killed. But I thought, I'll bet that that's small consolation, that they're going to carry those wounds with them for a long time.
Sure. And then not only that, but there were five people killed that day. And I know that those officers feel as though they wish they could have got there faster. And, you know, but I know from, especially from the outside looking in, that they saved a lot of lives that day. When you see the video footage of the shooter, he killed those five people, and then he went to go find more people to shoot, and then turned his attention to our officers.
Kristen Zeman is the chief of police for the Aurora Police Department. One last question as we segue to Bill Foster, the congressman sitting next to you. What did you learn that day?
Well, I learned, number one, that training are the top three things that you can give your officers, and that we do not rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training, and the way they performed that day was absolutely phenomenal. I learned also that first responders are right there with us from across the state of Illinois. They came with us. Our fire department medics also stood strong and next to us, and were right there with us as we went in. And most importantly, I've learned life is very precious, and those five people that we lost. And in particular, I've also learned to take good care of the officers who are charged with taking care of the community. That's my primary responsibility.
Congressman, as a lawmaker, when something like this happens, you're not in the line of fire, but you are legislatively. Do you think, okay, what can I do about a situation like this?
Yes, every time one of these happens. You know, this is the first anniversary of the shootings in Aurora. It's also the 12th anniversary coming up of the shootings at NIU, where five people were killed.
How many years ago was that?
That was almost 12 years. No,
yeah,
it's
wow.
coming up on 12. That was when I first entered Congress. I inherited a district in mourning, and one of the first things I did as a congressman was travel around to the memorial services for those who lost their lives in the NIU shooting. It's now 12 years later, and we have not addressed this. One of the reasons that I'm proud to have invited Chief Zeman to the State of the Union address is I think it's important that people see and they understand that the U.S. House has done its job. We've passed important legislation, things like universal background checks, that are supported by a huge fraction of Americans. The United States Senate has done nothing. They haven't taken them up. They haven't debated them. And, of course, the president has not signed them and shows no interest in them. And so that's one of the points I was trying to make. But the larger point is that in a situation where our government in Washington is not exactly covering itself in glory, I think it's important that people understand that there are times when our governments in our country do a great thing, and our government workers and our first responders.
Why hasn't the Senate taken up the... Is it one bill or several bills?
Oh, it's several bills. Why like red flag laws, things like the assault weapons ban, things like that
I know
support.
The answer to this. It's because the NRA supports a lot of senators and congressmen, and they don't want to lose the either votes or the money. Is that the short answer?
Yeah, there's also the fact that the Senate is very unrepresentative of the United States as a whole. You know, it's dominated by low population rural states, which have a different attitude toward guns. And so the polling in the Senate is very different than the polling you'd get nationwide.
Some people may say that's for a reason. It should be that way. That's another kind of representation, and you've got to clear both hurdles. What percentage, though, of the people do support some of these laws you're proposing?
Oh, it's in above 90% for universal background checks, things like closing the loophole on internet gun purchases. You know, that's the one where it's just inconceivable that our democracy works so poorly that something supported by 90% of Americans hasn't become law.
Chief, what are the police? Do the police officers in this country speak with one voice on gun ownership?
Well, I mean, we obviously we're in alignment with the Constitution of the United States of America, which is the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. We absolutely understand that. But we're also, we're also the ones who respond to gun violence. And I know a majority of the police officers feel very strongly about illegal guns in the hands of those who will use it nefariously.
Illegal guns in the hands, right, which is different than lawfully owned guns by citizens who have a right to. I don't know why that disconnect is so difficult for some senators to grasp. I don't want to take guns away from people who have a right to own guns. I presume you're going to tell me you don't either, Congressman.
Right. Yeah, right. And in the case of the shooting in Aurora, if a database had been properly updated, we would have had earlier warning that the person in question should not have had a FOID card. And when that FOID card finally got revoked, the gun was not repossessed.
It's funny, not to talk about Donald Trump too much here, but he loves the police. It seems like the police love him. He is not advocating, I don't think, your position, Congressman, or maybe even what you just said, Chief. I mean, why can't Donald Trump be more help on this?
Well, it's the NRA, frankly. The NRA has its claws deep into the Republican Senate.
And the single piece of legislation you think would be most palatable to the people, to the Senate, maybe even to the president, what's the easiest thing to pass that's sitting there right now?
Universal background checks. You know, close the gun show loophole, close the internet gun sale loophole.
Yeah. Would that have helped in the Aurora shooting case?
Not in that particular
case.
That
gun was legally owned, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
It was legally owned, but should have been revoked when the FOID.
Correct. So he filed for a FOID card and was granted that FOID card because the background check did not reveal that he had a felony conviction for stabbing his domestic partner in another state. And so that was not communicated to the state of Illinois. So he was given a FOID card where he purchased that weapon legally, but then he filed to get a conceal and carry license. There he was fingerprinted during that process, and that's when it came out that he had a felony conviction, so his FOID card was revoked. But there's the gap. Now you have a revoked FOID card, but we have no way of knowing what weapons were actually purchased.
These agencies don't all talk to each other? I mean, well, it would seem to me like if somebody knows, everybody should know.
Yeah, the big issue is that these databases have been systematically underfunded by the U.S. Congress. That this is, again, part of the attitude that we don't want to know who the criminals are. And this is not in alignment with what the people of America believe.
Right. So I suppose some gun advocates will bristle at this, but it seems to be if you legally own a gun, there should be a database about the serial number, the ownership, the location of this weapon, and it should be shared with all agencies that have any interest in this. And no one's going to take your gun away, but at least we'll be able to trace it if it's in, even as I describe the scenario, I know that it's not perfect, but I'd like to see some communication between these various agencies.
Yeah, we do it for automobiles.
Yeah, think about that. Well, another area that I think people are interested in is the mental health of people that acquire guns. They're lawful citizens. They haven't committed any crimes. And how would you assess the mental well-being of somebody? Are they well enough to have a gun?
Well, one simple mechanism are the so-called red flag laws. When someone in your family says, hey, I'm really worried about someone, there should be some mechanism for at least temporarily revoking their gun ownership.
You see how complicated that is, right? Now I'm mad at you or whatever. I say that. Now you can't have a gun. I mean, imagine trying to be the person figuring that out.
That's right. But the tragedy of having people die needlessly, I think, is getting rid of a good fraction of that is a good trade for the temporary erroneous revocation for a few days of someone's gun.
I agree with you on that. It's nice of you to both come into our studio. Chief, we probably won't see her on TV. The camera tends to go to the people the president calls on. He'll call on some people. I don't suppose he's going to highlight your story, your presence, your service, but we sure want to hear, Chief. Thank you for coming into our studio today. Pass along our greetings and best wishes to all of the officers and staff at the Aurora Police Department, too.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
And Congressman, thanks for coming into our studio.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, likewise. Nice to see Chief Zeman in the studio. What a bright light she is. Congressman, too, thank you both for coming in. But there's a woman who went to high school in Aurora, community college in Aurora, goes off to Boston, gets her master's, then goes to the Naval Academy for Homeland Security training, and then comes home to be a cop and the chief of police in Aurora. Sounds like that's sort of the tailor-made service that you want from one of your officers, and that's her story. We appreciate her coming in. Probably won't see her on TV, but she'll be at the State of the Union address with the congressman. In our studio is one Sam Panionovich, who watches sports and sports wagering for us here at WGN Radio. Sam, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing good. I thought about you as I was driving in today. I'm looking out, and I drive from the right side, the south side, up.
Yeah.
I look to the east, and I see the lake, and it looks freezing.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, we really blew it, because what did we talk about doing back in August?
You wanted me to get in a speedboat and drive...
Not a speedboat, a jet ski.
There you go, a jet ski from Navy Pier to one of these gambling joints. Which was the one?
Horseshoe in Hammond. Oh. It's like a 25-minute jet ski. I thought we could both do it, and using the geometric pinging that the sportsbook apps use, we could kind of scoot around... And we both hold our phones out until we go, got it! And then you can make a bet.
The geometric pinging is what?
I guess I'm speaking French to some people. So with these sportsbook apps now, a lot of these casinos in Vegas have their brick-and-mortar positions, but they make it more convenient for you. They give you a mobile account. You put money in, sort of like a checking account. They give you a name and a password, and you have a sportsbook on your phone. But you cannot bet outside of your state.
So in Illinois, you can't use this.
Well, you can't bet legally in Illinois yet. People are just beginning to apply for licenses. I saw three licenses applied for yesterday. Rivers and Des Plaines, Alton and Elgin. But in Nevada, if you have a mobile app, you can drive to the state line. And once you cross the state line, you can't bet because the GPS in the phone realizes you're out of state. That's illegal. You can't bet from different states.
That's sophisticated. So then do we have the reverse of that in Illinois? When you cross into Indiana, it knows?
Yes.
And so now, now you can start wagering.
So people that have mobile accounts in Indiana, where, by the way, it is legal, and had a buddy went to the Horseshoe yesterday, they added a whole new row of kiosks, and they're going to have, I think, 15 tellers for the game on Sunday. This is their first Super Bowl of legal betting in Indiana.
You have been pushing that narrative, those kinds of stories to me, ever since it happened. You're always reminding me how much money Illinois is leaving on the table.
Right. And it's huge, too. And I saw the New Jersey numbers for the last Super Bowl. 82% of the bets came in on the phone.
Hmm.
That's a lot, because people don't want to go to a casino anymore. We're lazy. We order Uber Eats. We order Amazon. We don't want to go to the damn casino.
So we would be able to, maybe for the March Madness, right?
That's what the optimism is sounding like, March Madness.
So then how would that work, Sam? So then I would be able to, in my living room, open up an app for a sports book for a company, Caesars or something like that? I'd get the Caesars app or some sports betting site?
Let's play show and tell. I'm going to hand you, this is one of the apps in Las Vegas. It's like a menu. Now those numbers, the plus and minus, those are the odds, but just read some of those bets out loud. Those are bets you can make.
I could bet just by pushing the button on the phone that you've handed me.
Right, but I just wanted to show you some of the options. That's a sports book right now in your right hand.
Coin toss for Super Bowl 54.
John, you've got his phone. Make some bets.
I could hit this, and I will bet on the coin toss.
Well, that's a media account, and that's a Nevada thing, so you couldn't bet. But I'm just saying, like, if you scroll down, coin toss.
Thank you, though, Steve. I appreciate you looking out for me.
Who will win the flip? Who will commit the first penalty?
49ers or Chiefs score three straight times?
Mm-hmm. Will either team score three straight times? The point is, you scroll down, and you can literally a la carte pick what you want. And just do it on your phone.
And then I put as much money on there as I want to. I've got it tied to my credit card.
Well, no, it's tied to the money in your account. It's like a checking account.
Oh, so it's not my credit card?
No.
Why not?
Think they're going to let you bet on credit? No.
Well, what do they care if it's coming out of... If they get the money, that's my hardship, not
that
theirs.
That may be 10 years from now. I don't think we're ready for credit cards yet.
I'm not saying we should. I'm not even advocating that. But so in other words, the money that you bet on this, I have to have demonstrated that I have.
You have already deposited it into that account.
So what account is that? My checking account or an account that they hold in escrow?
They hold it.
it's like you went to the casino and bought chips.
Okay, there you go. Right. So now I'm playing with their chips.
I'm not trying to make you feel dumb, but this is how it goes in Nevada. Every casino has a mobile app. And as long as you're inside the state of Nevada, you can bet on the phone. And it'll come to Illinois. It'll be here before you know it.
Will the 49ers convert their first third down attempt? Are you kidding
me? I have no idea.
I don't know. How many yards do they have to go? What? I don't know.
The thing is, and have I told you about the cereal analogy yet?
No.
So the cereal analogy is the hardest thing, I think one of the hardest things I have to do when I go grocery shopping is walk down the cereal aisle because there are so many options. But because of all the options, I know I'm leaving with something. If it's just a wall full of Wheaties, I go, I'm not feeling like Wheaties today. But there's Honey Nut Cheerios, and there's Apple Jacks, and ooh, there's Count Chocula. I haven't had that since I was in second grade. You're probably going to leave with something if you're there for cereal. The more options you have, the more you're going to play. And that's why you have 1,000 different ways to bet this game. You might not like the Chiefs or the Niners or the over or the under, but you might look at Robbie Gould and go, he's going to hit a 50-yard field goal. And the more you have available, the more people will bet, and the more money that casinos will make.
Is Robbie Gould going to... Is that a bet I could make?
Yes.
I will say yes. I would put $1,000...
Don't get out of control.
I wonder what a smart amount of money is to bet. How would you advise people on that?
There's this Kelly criterion, which is you should only... Say you have $100. You should only bet like 5% of your bankroll. You should never bet more than 5%. So if you have 1,000, the number incrementally raises, but you should never bet at all. Although, try telling some people that, you know.
Wait a minute. So you mean in your total assets or
no,
in pocket?
The money that you would put in an account. Like, say, Steve,
speak
you
to your
went,
financial advisor, ask him how much money you and your family are worth.
So, Steve, say you put $1,000 in this horseshoe account.
Okay.
You should never bet more than 5% on one game.
Well, that sounds to me like that comes from the casinos who are getting interest on your money. What?
They don't get interest on the money. You can take it out whenever you want.
But they still must be invested, regardless.
What do they do with the money?
If it's in the account, you'll probably play with it.
So if you've got $1,000 in the account, why not bet $500 of it if you want?
He asked what the recommended bet should be for the math guys.
Because you could lose it, Steve.
Because, Steve, it's so hard to make a profit. And that's why, you know, and John, how many times have we talked about picks on your show and I'll get a pick wrong and, you know, I'll feel bad about it. It is so hard. I mean, the best people in the world that do it for a living, and I don't do it for a living, I never will. It's too stressful. The best people in the world are only winning about 57, 58% of the time. That sounds like it's not that good, but when you do the math, that's really a strong rate.
Sometimes you think, well, this is so easy. Of course Villanova is going to beat DePaul or something like that.
There's a reason.
I know college basketball.
There's a reason that sports betting is becoming legalized because the government is finally realizing, hey, people do it, and hey, people don't win.
And even if you win or lose, I mean, the taxes aren't on the casino. Well, I guess the taxes are on the casinos, right? Not on the wagers. Like if I win money on a bet, then do I have to pay taxes on my winnings?
Essentially, you should report at the end of the year what you win and lose, but you don't report your losses either.
Is there a paper trail on that? Like, the casino will then send me a 1099 form or something for the money I won?
The number in Vegas for sports betting that you get the 1099 is $9,999.99. If you win more than that, you get the paperwork. Otherwise, it's on you to report it. And let's be honest, most people don't.
I don't know that that's true. Do you think that's true?
Yes.
People don't report their legal gaming winnings? You don't know anybody who ever has,
do
you?
No, I do. I just think more people than not don't. By the way, I have another prop. I know we're kind of going around the world here, but this is actually, I'm going to say this because this is how the prop is worded. It's not a bad word. Will J-Lo show butt cleavage? Have you talked about this yet?
I have not. I didn't want to say butt cleavage on the radio.
He has not.
First of all, I've never heard anybody say that.
Yeah,
those two words together. Yeah. And I also don't know what that means.
Let's go to Steve Bertrand in the newsroom.
You don't know what that means?
No, I mean, you know, like, is it... Well, I don't want to get too anatomical here. This is a family radio station.
Will J-Lo have a plumber's butt? That's another way to put it.
I'm going to guess no.
Is that what butt cleavage means?
Isn't it?
Wait, what's butt cleavage?
Let's just stop. All right, fine. Let's move on. That's what I'm saying, though.
I think butt cleavage is where the pants or skirt are so short you see the bottom round half moons of her cheeks coming.
I have no idea.
Well,
you.
I want to thank you guys because I just Googled it and this is fun.
It's legitimate now.
You can actually bet on this.
What is the what are the numbers saying?
The no is -$4, so you have to bet. You have to bet four to win 100.
I don't know what that means.
You have to bet 400 to win 100.
Are people saying it's more likely or less likely?
More likely that she will not.
Will not.
Mm-hmm.
So if I bet and she does, then I stand a chance to make some money.
And there has been a drastic movement. I know you're.
And who gets to be the judge of that too? By the way,
I have no idea. Okay. That's why I think
we spent too much time on this.
It's difficult because I truly did just Google it, and the pictures are equally top or bottom. So
we're not real clear on what that is even is.
But
there's one here that's a middle.
Hey, Steve.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
On the Gatorade market, which I know you're dying to know, there has been a flurry of dollar bills on purple Gatorade.
Purple Gatorade. I was hoping for orange. I was betting on orange.
Purple Gatorade was at one point 5 or 6 to 1, and now it's about +200.
Wow.
So there's been a nice fluctuation of money on purple
Gatorade.
Do
you understand the problem we have? We'll pause here and come back, but just comment on this when we come back. And then I have 54 fun facts about the Super Bowl, of which I'll read about 3. But comment on this. When you go, can you believe that? The plus or minus was 5, but now it's under 200. The problem is going to be, when it becomes legal in Illinois, to make what you're talking about discernible to those of us who don't understand it. WGN Sports, Sam Panionovich follows the sports and gaming world, the intersection of those. We might have legal betting in Illinois before March Madness. You could bet on the college games. I hope that doesn't ruin my office pools, because those are a lot of fun.
It won't.
Now you don't even have to do that. You could just sit there in your dark basement and click away.
There will come a time when you can. I got a text, by the way, from the 219. I've been to the Ameristar Casino in East Chicago, Indiana. I've seen people in line and at the kiosk all hours of the day, all hours of the night. What are they betting on early in the morning or that late at night? Simple answer. You can bet on games as far out as they put them up. The Super Bowl, you've been able to bet on the Super Bowl since the end of the championship games. That line came out that night.
We're
talking almost 2 weeks. So you've been able to bet this. You don't have to wait till the day of the game. And when you get questions like this, that's the line that I always find myself trying to straddle when I come in with you, because I talk about it like it's a second language. And for other people, it's just not yet. And I think education going forward, and the state has allocated money in this sports betting budget to educate and make sure people know what they're doing. They've also allocated money for problem gambling. So, but it's a lot of money.
I was watching ESPN the other day, and I forget, it must have been ESPN2. And there was a couple of guys, maybe a gal, and they were sitting there talking about sports bets. And it was just boom, 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 boom. It was really fast. They were really good. I was thoroughly entertained. Didn't understand a word of it. But, I mean, it was just so interesting to see these people with so much knowledge, A, about the teams and the things they were talking about, the players, the left ankle of a guard you never heard of, stuff like that, and just segueing from crazy things that have happened. And then, on top of it, this bizarre language they were speaking and the numbers that were flying in and out of their heads. So they were like math whizzes who understood the business, who understood the teams. And again, I didn't understand much of what they were talking about, but I sure appreciated knowledge and the wizardry of these people, even if they lose all their money. It was just a really entertaining show. Okay, so here's 54 fun facts about the Super Bowl.
You're going to get to all 54?
It's the Chiefs and the 49ers. Fact one.
Wow.
They're in the Super Bowl.
Are you
going to
skip around here? What's number two? They will play with a football.
It'll be the first Super Bowl appearance for the Chiefs in 50 years.
And Joe Buck's father, Jack Buck, announced that game 50 years ago. And guess who's on the call this Sunday?
Joe Buck. Why do people hate Joe Buck? Give us a call. 312-981-7200.
Lines are full.
Text your response. I don't hate Joe Buck.
I don't either.
He's had some interesting hair choices, the colors, the shape. He seems knowledgeable and affable to me. Got a nice voice. This is the first Super Bowl appearance for the Chiefs in 50 years. This is the 49ers' seventh Super Bowl appearance. San Francisco went to five Super Bowls between 81 and 94 and won all five of them. Here's a question for you. If the Niners win Super Bowl LIV, they will tie whom for the most Super Bowl victories in NFL history?
I believe it's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Number one. And there's one other team?
New England Patriots?
A certain New England team. Those are the two with the most.
Steelers were so good in the 70s.
We kind of forgot that,
didn't we? They were unbelievable. They were the Patriots before the Patriots.
That's so true. And a different kind of team, too. A steel town.
They
team.
Weren't winning games 50-40. They were winning games 17-3.
It'll be at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. This will be the 11th time a Super Bowl has been played in South Florida. Sam, for $200, the Miami area ranks first among all host cities. What's the number two town for hosting Super Bowls with 10?
New Orleans.
New Orleans is correct.
All right. I'm not cheating either. I don't play for the Astros.
Has that become a noun or a verb or something?
I saw a sign at a church.
Don't Astro that now. Come on.
I saw a sign at a church in Houston. It said, we had a sermon, but the Astros stole it.
That's really good.
Or something
good.
Like that.
That's
yeah.
really good. Uh-huh. Super Bowl LIV is scheduled for 5:30 kickoff Chicago time on Fox. Sean Hannity is interviewing the president beforehand. I don't know how long we've been doing the tradition of the president doing an interview. Sean Hannity and the president will do a sit-down before the game, probably before the pregame. Not sure when that comes on.
That's interesting because it used to always be on the host network, right?
Yeah, well, it's on Fox, but it's not on Fox News. Those are different channels.
Right.
I guess it's the same company.
Yeah, I guess they don't really have a national news anchor. So,
well, the sports guys don't do it. It's all,
no.
If it's CBS, then it would have been Dan Rather or somebody else, right?
Remember, this was the interview with Lester Holt that got the president in trouble about firing James Comey. It was the Super Bowl interview,
and that was on NBC. Then Lester Holt's NBC,
right?
So, how fortunate for the president it's on Fox this year because he and Sean are so close. So, I guess that's the challenge then for Sean Hannity is how hard or far do I push the president? What in the back of his mind, what would Lester Holt do here?
I don't think that's in his mind.
The Chiefs are the...
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
He's not an anchor. So that would be, if Chris
true.
Wallace were doing it,
that's true.
It would be different.
Right. I mean, nearly. Sean Hannity's a talk show host. Lester Holt is a news anchor. And while we don't appreciate that, those are different descriptions. The Chiefs are the consensus favorites to win, but just by one point. Is that the deal?
So they're not really favorites. Vegas is saying flip a coin. I think the Chiefs have the best player. I think the Niners have the better team. It's tough to fade Patrick Mahomes. He's the best player in the world.
It's tough to fade Patrick Mahomes.
Tough to go against him. Tough to bet against him. I'm sorry. I'm going to bring a glossary next time.
You know what? When this becomes legal,
we should write a glossary.
A glossary of sports betting phrases that the average Joe needs to know.
And we'll sell it in Indiana.
Well, soon we'll be able to sell it right here in River City. 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan will be making his Super Bowl debut. What will be unique about his family tree relative to the Super Bowl?
Believe the father, Mike, didn't he go to Eastern Illinois? I don't know. I forget where he's from. He's from Illinois. I can't remember the city, though.
Oh, you're overthinking it. Shanahan's dad, Mike, was the Niners' offensive coordinator during the 1994 championship and led the Broncos to back-to-back. So you have a father-son Super Bowl champion family.
He was born in Leyden.
That's around here?
Yeah. Pretty much right outside of Oak Park.
The 49ers are just the third team in NFL history to reach the Super Bowl after winning four or fewer games the season before. Is that unique to football? That you can, in a 60, so they were what, 3-13 or 4-12 last year, and now they are poised to win the Super Bowl. Do other pro sports have that kind of turnaround available to them?
No. Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL, though, early in the season, so they didn't have their starting quarterback.
Whatever. I mean, it's
very, very rare. It's an anomaly, actually.
But maybe more possible for an NFL team to do that than a Major League Baseball team or an NBA
team. The turnover in football is a lot more drastic than it is in any other sport.
San Francisco's greatest strength is its defense. The Chiefs are known for their offense.
Yep.
You agree with that?
Checks out.
Star of the San Francisco running backfield in the NFC title game is Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert, who was cut by the Bears. He had four touchdowns in the NFC title game.
Did they do this? Remember the thing used to be when the World Series would happen, you would...
former Cubs.
Cubs factor. Is there a Bears factor in the Super Bowl?
Robbie Gould. Raheem Mostert. You got a couple former Bears.
On both teams, the quarterback for the Chiefs, I'm going to put on the Bears roster.
Has that been in the news that the Bears passed on Mahomes?
Oh, now you're stealing my jokes.
I know.
Okay, so Sam, as you go, what's the best, most interesting, most fun thing for an average fan to look forward to during the game, besides the commercials and the butt cleavage?
My most fun bet, I know we got to go here, is a missed PAT. Can you just root for a missed extra point for me?
Oh, I have to bet on a missed, will there be a missed PAT?
I like the yes. I think somebody will doink one or miss one wide left or wide right. So when you're watching the game, folks, think about me. If you see a missed extra point,
Sam just made some money.
I'll be very happy.
It's 10:57. Thanks, Sam Panionovich.
27-23, Niners.
Listen, I'm not going to dwell on this, but we sure are getting a lot of text messages this morning about butt cleavage, since there's a bet you can make about whether or not we'll see any from J-Lo. The problem was we weren't sure what that meant, to which 847 said, Joe Buck is a plumber's crack. King John, what not to hate about Joe Buck? I'm not a big enough sports fan to fully appreciate the sins that Joe Buck has committed, but evidently they are legion, and a lot of you are taking the time to write in today about that. 423 said Gatorade is usually the team colors, so it would be red since that's the color of both teams. It in a ridiculous tribute to Kobe Bryant, it might be purple this year. And by the way, how much money on possible earthquake? Sam is still clicking away on his computer over there. Sam, can I wager on will there be an earthquake for the Super Bowl?
You may be able to somewhere, because there was just an earthquake, right, in Jamaica?
It rattled
one of the hotels in South Beach. So I don't know that.
Oh, gosh, that's right.
I don't think you can bet that in America. But again, there's the global markets. A lot of the big Rolodexes of bets come from the UK and or Costa Rica, Panama, Nicaragua. That's the Wild West, or maybe the Wild East, depending on how you look at it. But you can't. I don't think you can bet that legally in America.
Hmm.
Interesting, though. You can bet it somewhere.
We talked earlier about pets and how much their surgeries or their just well care costs you, the lengths to which we go to accommodate our pets. In the next half hour, we're going to talk to that guy who runs the WeatherTech company, who spent $6 million on a Super Bowl ad to thank the University of Wisconsin Veterinary School for taking care of his dog. Had a 1% chance of living. The dog lived. He said, thank you so much. And he put a Super Bowl ad out to thank them. I watched the ad, and I'll play it for you. I don't think it even mentions his company. Maybe it does, but not much. It's not an ad for WeatherTech. It's an ad for giving money to veterinary schools and saving dogs, and the dog's in it the whole time. This guy really likes his dog. It led us to this conversation. 630 said, hey, John, I can relate to this. In December, we spent $7,000 to diagnose terminal bone cancer in our 11-year-old dog. If surgery would have extended his life, we would have paid more. Now, he died last week, and we are still heartbroken. And so many of you have stories like that. 3 days in the hospital, plus $3,500 of surgery, John. We're out $9,000 on our cat. She was only 6 at the time and had been happy and healthy since. And it's $9,000 for the cat. I don't know if it's species specific too. My guess is, I don't know. I don't know cats and cat owners. As a dog owner, I understand. But then I look at you people with cats and I go, but that's ridiculous. That's not fair. That makes no sense. Last night I went to Teatro Zinzani. T-E-A-T-R-O. Teatro Zinzani.
Sharon wants me to go to that.
It's a dinner theater show. It is burlesque. It is cirque. It is, you walk into a lobby and you can have a drink beforehand. The door opens at 6. Then they start the show at 7. Chris Jones of the Chicago Tribune, no fool, Chris Jones. He gives it 3.5 stars out of 4. Tickets are $119 to $184 a person, dinner included. Dinner is included, but beverages are not. And this is the sort of thing you want to be drinking at. And the drinks are not inexpensive. I'm just telling you, we were there last night, and the food was pretty good, and the show is bizarre and funny. These people are Cirque du Soleil good, and they're doing it at your table. It's so intimate. It's so close. It's not an inexpensive night, because the two of you walking in the door are at least 2 1/4. If you're parking downtown, add another X, and then a glass of wine is $15, $16. You'll want 3. And then cocktails are kind of expensive, too. Not everything in the dinner is included, on the menu is included. So if you want the nicer dessert, there's an upcharge. If you want hors d'oeuvres, if you want, say, the cheese plate, that's another $20. And it just goes on like that. So if you do it right, you're looking at $300 or so before you get out of Teatro Zinzani. The star of the show is this guy named Kevin Kent. He's from North New Mexico. He is in drag, and he is a large, muscular, middle-aged, bizarre, funny man. The show takes place 14 stories above ground in a little room they found with an amazing roof and circular kind of seating. And there's a stage in the middle and then a stage for the band off to the side. And the Zinzani show is right now. They changed the theme. They changed a lot of... It sounds like they're always updating the show. I'm reading from Chris Jones' review of it earlier this year. Zinzani's Love, Chaos, and Dinner, for the record, has an authentic 6'7" in heels Austrian yodeler dominatrix named Manuela Horn. I talked to her after the show. If she's 6'6" in heels, then she must... 6'7"? I'll bet she's 6'4". I'm 6 foot tall. I had some heels on too, not the dominatrix kind. And I was looking up at her and I thought, I am talking to a 7 foot tall woman. And she's gorgeous. And she's got 6 feet of legs. She's very curvy. She's very friendly. She's very odd and talented. She's something. Then there's a vocalist from Peoria named Liv Warfield, who once was part of Prince's New Power Generation. There is a soprano dancer cartoonist named Kelly Britt, who comes with an operatic voice trained at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. There is a creepy Ukrainian-born illusionist named Voronin, who you will believe is Dracula. There's the Argentinian hand balancer Elaine Kramer. There is an African aerial straps acrobat named Alcini Silla from Cavalia. I don't even know what those words are. He is this about 5'8" tall pile of muscles. He's got a physique that you could just stand and watch like art all day long. He's amazing. And he jumps and flips in the air and does things overhead that just boggle your mind. He's worth the price of admission if any one of them are. And then it goes on like that. The cast is from all around the world. And you sit there with your dinner and your drinks and you watch them do funny stuff. And then one big part of the show is that this host, if you will, the head waiter, Kevin Kent, the guy in drag, he'll drag people out of the audience and make fun of them. He'll say, come on up here. And then you go, oh, geez, he called on me. And then he just does shtick with you. If you're bald and you can't do that, I'm warning you, you might get called on when you go there.
I wish I could have seen you being called on.
I kept thinking, please don't come up to me, because I'm just sitting there looking like a middle-aged white guy, the sort of person that shows like this prey on, right? Like, oh, here's a stuffed shirt. Let's have
him. Okay, now I feel bad. I take it back.
Oh, well, trust me. That's what he was calling on at times.
Yeah.
As well, there was a guy from Tampa that he called on, and By the time he got done, he had lipstick on this guy, cherry cheeks, had him with falsies on and a dress.
Yeah.
And this poor guy is having to put up with these antics. He was a great sport, and it was very funny, but it's just that kind of show. So that's Teatro Zenzani. Not inexpensive, not for everybody. They really do what they do well. It's 11:15. Super Bowl commercials. A local guy's been on the production end of them. You should hear some of these stories. I say a friend of mine, although I can't say that I've actually been with him that many times. Larry Pecorella's in our studio. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hey, John. How are
you? And I have a mutual friend.
Yeah.
Named Steve Hayward, who is the hit whisperer and taught my son how to hit a baseball pretty well.
And mine, too.
And so you and I, as a couple of baseball dads, met through the hit whisperer.
A while ago.
At Strikes Baseball Academy. If you have a son or daughter that wants to play baseball, go to Strikes.
He was the best.
That's one for you, Steve. You owe us. You are the CEO of Comma?
Yeah.
What's Comma?
Comma's a music company. We do music production mainly for commercials over the years, and we also have an online library.
I want to talk about both of those things, but I just think that's so interesting. I think we see commercials.
Yeah.
We're entertained by commercials.
Correct.
We don't know how those happen. There's that business exists in Chicago for national brands.
Big, big. Yeah, I've been doing this for a long time in Chicago. And I will tell you, my first Super Bowl spot was in 1986, January of 86. And if for Chicago fans, obviously, you know what year that was.
Holy cow, that's right.
Correct. And I was actually not far from here in one of these kinds of buildings right in this area and landed a spot for McDonald's in the Super Bowl. And it really launched us.
I'm sure you remember.
It was from McDLT. The hot size hot and the cold size cold, and it was this rollerblading thing, and these two kids were rollerblading, and then they kind of met in the middle, and it was kind of a rock, thoroughgood kind of track, and it was different from McDonald's at the time, and it really launched us.
So your angle on it was...
We did the music.
But isn't that interesting to me, too? I mean, so somebody comes up with the idea, somebody writes it, somebody casts it, and then when they get the thing done, now we need music to go with it.
Right.
Do they do that all along, knowing we need a George Thorogood music track, or
well,
do they
ask
you?
Well, in those days, yes. They tend to think music a little later in the process now, but back then, when the person, when the creative at the agency, it was Leo Burnett back then, was pitching the idea, she came to us and said, I really want to pitch this thing, I think I want to go in, and so we did a track, and she went in and pitched the whole idea and whatever. So we were working all along and then did the final track, you know, a few weeks before the Super Bowl. Now it's kind of because of the way technology is and the way you can change things at the last minute with anything. It's happened in every industry. Deadlines can get moved later and later and later because of digital, you can change things. It happens way later in the process.
Do you think it's better to have original music or take a George Thorogood track, say, and just use that?
Well, I mean, personally, obviously, I write original music, so I think that's the best thing because then it's here's the way I always say about, so unless the song is really apropos to the idea that every, it's so universal, this particular idea of a song works really well with that spot, I think that's great. But then everybody has a different relationship with music, right? You may hear a song and you may think, oh, that was the best summer of my life. And I love that song. And then somebody else may hear it and say, well, it's the year I broke up with my boyfriend or my girlfriend or whatever, and I hate that song. And so, and you don't really have ownership of it, right? You're just borrowing the equity of it. So I'm not convinced it's always the best idea.
You said the producer, the commercials get made later in the process now.
Music does.
Well, but there was a story in the news that some of the commercials one shot in Chicago area. That was happening last week. Is it possible?
That's way late in the process.
But I'm correct about this, if I'm not mistaken. Will you have a spot in this Super Bowl?
I will have a spot in this year's Super Bowl. I'm not going to say what it is, but we will have one in this year's Super Bowl. I will tell you that more years than not, I've got a spot in the Super Bowl.
Doing the music?
We've done the music. And I can name you things that, like, doing the music or even the sound design. Sound design is kind of like sound effects, whatever. So one year we did the Terry Tate office linebacker, the one where he goes through the office and he just slams everybody.
Oh, I love that commercial.
All right, we did
that
all,
is a funny commercial.
It's a funny spot. We did all the sound design. Design all, and then the music tag at the end. We've just did a Pokemon spot a couple of years ago.
The music tag at the end, so then it goes, bam.
Yeah, whatever it is. Right.
And so do you sit around and go, does it need a ba-choo or does it need a ba-dang?
You wouldn't believe that's exactly the way we talk.
Yes. What fun, though, right?
Yeah. I mean,
although I don't know,
I haven't had a real job yet.
You've got a music degree, though, correct?
Yeah, I went to Berklee College of Music.
Okay, Boston. So you've scored symphonies, correct?
Yes.
You've done...
I've worked with the London Symphony. When I first got out of school, I actually went on the road with the Glenn Miller Orchestra, which was, you know, the big band, and was
what
a staff arranger, piano and a staff arranger.
And now here you are doing...
Yeah. Now I sit with a computer all day long. And
do you hate the computers, what they've done to the business?
No, I will say it's not as much fun. It's productive.
You get more done with the machine.
Yeah, it has brought in a lot more people. Obviously, the entry level into the business now is, you know, we're competing against some composer in Belarus, you know, in his apartment with GarageBand.
Is the quality of the music those people are producing on their computers good enough?
Well, here's what I always say about that kind of thing. You know, supposedly certain places say, oh, we get artists all around the world. And to me, 17 million artists around the world, I find it hard to believe it. To me, it's like whenever they crowdsource a lot of music from a lot of different people, to me, it's like the opening episode of American Idol when you see the line out the door and all those people and they come in and they're horrible. You know, that's a lot of it, right? And then our job as curators is to sift through all of that, no different than how they do it on American Idol.
What's the commercial you've done for the Super Bowl or otherwise that I've seen that you're most proud of? Or that was most known?
Well, I will. You know, I worked on the Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Nothing But Net spot.
Are you kidding?
No.
What did you do for that?
And the subsequent ones after that.
There was a bunch of them.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you do for that?
So the first one, I was a producer on it. The second one, and mixed it. The second one, I was there in a rowboat or whatever, out at sea, and I composed that one. There's a different series, and there's another one back in the 90s that I'm, you know, proud of. We worked on. My company at the time was called Perfect Season for McDonald's, and that ended up being... Steven Spielberg saw that spot and asked the writers that wrote that commercial to write Little Giants.
Really?
That's where the movie Little Giants came from that particular commercial.
Go back to the Larry Bird, Michael Jordan commercial. They're playing horse.
Yeah.
Off the rim, off the bus,
right.
The ball. So you get that, and now you've got to maybe make the sound effects match.
Well, I got to tell you, when we first saw it, it was horrible, right? It's Larry and Michael and green screen. And there's no music, there's no effects. The lighting is weird because, you know, Michael and Larry, just to be, you know, their complexions.
Couldn't be whiter and blacker.
Correct. And so, you know, Joe Pitka shot that, and I'm not, you know, how he shoots it and is able to even get it to look the way it did is amazing. So when you first see this, you're like, oh my God, is this going to even work? And then next thing you know, you put the music to it, the right track, the right this, that, and the other, and then the effects come in, and next thing you know, it's one of the biggest commercials of all time.
It's a funny commercial. I mean, I can play it back in my head. In fact, we queued up earlier in the week some of our favorite Super Bowl commercials. I Googled best Super Bowl commercials of all time. Mm-hmm. That's in everybody's top 10.
Yeah, that one. I think Terry Tate is, too.
Yeah. The one that wins all the time is the 1984 Apple commercial.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Where they throw the sledgehammer into the screen. Do you love that commercial?
Love it. Yeah.
Why?
I think that the, you know, part of it is with any commercial, the idea has to be so strong, simple and strong, and that idea is just, you know, it was revolutionary. Look at, we're still feeling the effects 36 years later of what that Mac did.
Yeah, so right, never mind the references to 1984 these days, the computer it's hard to imagine that, I don't know, does 1984 sound recent to you? But the Elif, it was yesterday, and we had Super Bowl commercials 1 through 7, I think. Do you have that one queued up? Go ahead and play a little of that.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
Then there's a little stinger at the end, but you hear the... And then, in the background. And it's a Orwellian 1984 kind of thing. And at the end, the guy smashes the old world and the masses are receiving something good. By the way, when you listen to that, you must be thinking, the music in the background, the sound effects, all of that.
I listen to all of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I hear more than I see.
Huh.
Yeah.
So just to segue from Super Bowl commercials, which you've obviously got a deep, what you've got a foot in, people are... all producing their own stuff at home now, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
And I know that there's a segment of Comma Music, your company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, if I'm not doing a Super Bowl commercial, but I'm making a home video and I want a music track or a stinger, you guys, what, sell that or curate that?
Well, what we've done is now there are well over 50 million YouTube creators, let's just say, right? And but everybody's creating content. If you go to Best Buy and you look at the wall, it's just cameras and podcasts and all this stuff so that people can do stuff at home. But what they can't do And what's hard to find is music that they can put online that is won't get a copyright claim on it, right? You can't just put a Billie Eilish song on it or something like that. You have to have something that you've got the rights to. So we're offering a subscription service to this all this great music that we've got, you know, and, you know, a monthly fee, and then you can put up as much as you want.
Different flights of service?
Yeah, there's different flights for an individual or for a small business. And, you know, on the bigger side of things, we, excuse me, we still can't do it. You know, if it's McDonald's or whatever, it's broadcast, it's not for them. But it's really more for people that social media and...
small businesses, small something business. Like that. So if I've got $9 a month, I subscribe to this vast inventory of music.
Correct.
Now I'm, no, okay, but now I've got all of this music. Which songs do I want? So then I type in keywords, right?
So there's a keyword thing, just like if you were looking on Zappos for shoes or something, you know, you just kind of look and it's like, well, I want something that's anthemic and building and aggressive or swagger or romantic or whatever, and it kind of curates the tracks for you and gives you a list of stuff, and then you play them, and you can audition them. If you like it, you download it, and now you can
use it.
You can use it. It gets whitelisted, and it's free and clear to use.
Producer Elif, what were the keywords you were typing?
I've got ambient, comedy, hip hop, and R&B. I have a comedy one I can play.
Okay, so play That's me. True. So if I've got a funny video at home,
right.
I type in comedy. What do
yeah,
I hear?
Yeah, I'm curious with it.
Right.
Right?
So this is you or somebody at your company?
Actually, I think that was me. Yeah, it's my fitness.
A little Frankenstein vibe going on there. I would type in as a keyword Frankenstein or, I don't know, scary.
Most of our music is our tracks, right? And so what I've always said is there's a skill to writing these tracks, and that is that it has to be catchy enough, like it was for you, that you kind of smiled and go, that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
And yet you can put it underneath whatever it is you're doing. It's like it's not going to get in the way of a voiceover or, you know, visually something.
Play. I know we're running out of time here, yeah. But play me another track.
This is Candles Fade, which was an ambient one.
Wait, so this is called Candles Fade. This is the name of it. Ambient music. So this is the video of Brenda and I on our anniversary dinner. Shot by a third party.
It was a candle.
And we're in that table in the corner. And it's just a little romantic thing that when we show to our friends, they just blanch. They just go, oh, get a room. But this is our... But, I mean, that's the joy of this.
Yeah.
I mean, if the music evokes these sorts of feelings, then the music's working.
Music to work tells you how you're supposed to feel. Yeah. It's about your emotion and the arc of the build or not.
So if I want to surf... Okay, so now you've got a sampling of what this guy does. If you want to search it, you go to comma music.
That's it.
And then it says individual or corporate or something.
Right.
Click on individual, and then you can sample the music
right.
there.
Commamusic.com.
Commamusic.com.
Yeah.
Larry, why don't you visit with us after the Super Bowl? Because
be
I know some of the spots you're involved in you can't talk about now.
Right.
But we can sort of break them down maybe on
be
Monday.
Fun. Great. Looking forward to it.
Larry Pecorella, commamusic.com. Right here in Chicago. I've got my comma knit hat on that Larry Pecorella gave me. Larry's got a little bit of a cold. Twice I tried to shake his hand and he lurches back and says, no, you do not want to shake my hand.
Don't touch me.
I know. I guess really going forward, we should all be a little more like that.
No, more touching.
Well, listen, I've been the brave soul who long has said the species has survived. You know, we don't need to be wiping down our jewel cart handles when we go to the grocery store. They've got those wipes and some people are really working them. And I'm like, oh, give me a break. Let's just push the cart. Let's go. Go get your bananas. But what an interesting business, huh? So then he and his people come up with all of these different kinds of musical beds. And then when you're making your videos, you can just go to commamusic.com, sample them, type in. And so if you're doing like sports, like here's one of Emma hitting a home run or of Noah kicking the soccer goal or whatever. Boy, we could use some like sports, jazzy, heroic music.
Right.
And this requires a certain level of sophistication that I don't have to make a home video like this. But I know some of you do. Or for whatever reason, if you want it, then you go there and you type in sports. I don't know. Can you do this, Elif? Elif's on the phone. But type in on Common Music. What would be like, I don't know, sports score? Like if the kids have kicked a goal or done something well in sports in high school, and we're going to make a video of it, or college, I need the appropriate music. So Elif is going to the site to find what that would be. But that's kind of fun. It's what we do here at the radio station a lot, too, by the way. And that is when we do our bits and commercials and promos. But we got a professional who does that for a living. His point is people are trying to do this at home. So commamusic.com does that. So what did you find, Elif? What are you looking at there? Don't hear your mic, Elif.
Oh, sorry. All right, I've got overtime, which is when I search sports, this is what I got.
commamusic.com. By the way, speaking of commercials, we finally found, is that David McNeil on line 7? David, this is John Williams. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you, sir?
Hello.
Hey, it's welcome Dave to the McNeil. Show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Let's see. You are the founder of WeatherTech, correct?
That is correct. 30 years in business right here in America.
What does WeatherTech do?
We manufacture automotive accessories like our wonderful floor liners to protect the floor of the car. We make these fantastic ergonomic and safe pet feeding systems. And we have home accessories. We have the amazing cup phone. And we do it by building factories in America, hiring American workers, harnessing American technology, and using American raw materials right here in Bolingbrook, Illinois.
Yeah, is that your giant plant or warehouse I see when I go down I-55 on the, if I'm going south, it's on the right-hand side, right?
Yes, there's a few buildings there with WeatherTech on them. Yep, that's where we're building, that's where we're investing, right here in America.
That's a good ad, man. I go by, my folks live in Joliet, so I'm coming up back and forth all the time, and that is a footprint on the highway. A lot of people see that sign.
No, it's fantastic. It's a great location for us, and Chicago's got such a wonderful and diverse workforce that we're able to really compete with anyone in the world with our great American workers.
David McNeil from WeatherTech's on a phone line, who's made some news. He, you know, you need to tell the story, but as I understand it, your dog was diagnosed with cancer. Nobody thought the dog would live. You took the dog to the veterinary school at the University of Wisconsin, and they saved your pet. Is that correct?
Absolutely. The Scout collapsed back in July in Chicago, brought him to the local vet. They said bring him to the emergency room. He had a tumor on his heart that was bleeding, and we were told pretty much just put him down. I was in Europe. I flew home that night, got to the vet, and I walked in. He's wagging his tail at me. He's like, hey, Dad, I'm kind of tired of this veterinarian hospital thing. Let's go home. And they're like, yeah, you got to put him down. I'm like, I'm not putting that dog down. There's just no way. So got to sleep at 2 a.m., I woke up at 6 a.m., drove him up to the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine. No appointment, walked in the door. They didn't know him. They never saw us. They didn't know anything. And that Monday, we started a great program on chemotherapy and radiation therapy the following Monday, and then experimental immunotherapy. And within 6 weeks, that killer tumor that was on his heart was shrunk by 78%. Another 2 weeks, we did another CT scan. It was down another 50%, and today that tumor on his heart is virtually gone. We're working on a couple small little tumors right now in his lungs, and he's getting radiation this week and next week to knock those out. But his quality of life is fantastic. He's enjoying life and doing great.
Were some of those treatments experimental or novel, or is that the standard care?
We certainly did take a tact of thinking out of the box, because the hemangiosarcoma cancer that he had was so vicious that if we didn't think out of the box, take some chances, take some risks, all ethical, of course, and try to treat him aggressively, he would be dead right now. So he's right now into his 7th month and doing great. And the survival rate of hemangiosarcoma is 1% at 1 year. So it's a vicious cancer, as opposed to, let's say, Ebola, which is the standard, there's different strains, but a standard strain of Ebola, a human has a 50% chance of survival. So you can just imagine how vicious this particular cancer is. And that's why I got involved in supporting and trying to support and helping the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine by creating a Super Bowl commercial, spending over $6 million to do that, and so that we can lever that investment into bringing awareness across the country, in fact, the world, that pets get cancer. In fact, the main cause of canine death in America is cancer. And I'm like, how can we help raise funds so that the university can do more research in cancer, treat cancer, cure cancer, and actually prevent cancer? They've even got programs that they're working on ways to prevent cancer, yeah, which will trickle down to humans.
Well, way too many dogs smoke. No, it's not that. I mean, but one of the things that the doctor said in the paper, I think it was the Tribune story, was whatever you think about spending money on animal health, it sort of helps humans as well, right?
Well, absolutely. The radiation machine, the tomotherapy machine that is treated Scout this morning up at the university, that machine, when it was put in place, the FDA would not allow that machine to be used on humans until they used it successfully on dogs. And then once those dogs had the cancer had been treated and basically cured, then they were able to start selling those machines and installing them and using them on humans all around the world. So a lot of great things happen from animal treatments that are successful and that translate into human health. It's an amazing program, yeah, up there. And WeatherTech is paying for 100% of the marketing for the fundraising for the university, and the university gets 100% of the money. No administrative fees, no marketing fees, nothing. And that money goes right to cancer research, and you can find the link at weathertech.com right on our homepage.
Why the University of Wisconsin? Literally, you described this sort of emergency trip up to, I guess, Madison, right? But why not Urbana or somewhere in Chicago? How did you pick them?
They were recommended to us as the Mayo Clinic for animals in the Midwest, and probably one of the very best oncology departments and programs in the world. It just happens to be right in our backyard, and that's where we went, and that's we've been treated so well up there. It's just amazing.
The number that gets a lot of attention, by the way, David, is $6 million. I saw the spot, and I don't think the dog charged you a lot. I presume that's mostly just for the purchase of the ad time on the Super Bowl.
The ad time is about $5.5 million, and then you take the cost of actually developing the ad and filming it and everything, and that's another, the other expenses add up to somewhere around another $1 million.
Wow, what did your wife say about all of this?
You know what? This is a great thing to do, and this is how we wanted to give back. And you know what? I hope that all the Super Bowl advertisers contribute to this particular cause, because every last one of the Super Bowl commercial advertisers contributes, especially the ones with that are using animals in their commercials, which there are many. And I'd like to see all those companies donate significantly to this particular cause at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Veterinary Medicine.
Yeah, so at the end it asked people to make a donation like that. I'm trying to remember now. I've got the commercial here, but does a narrator describe it, or am I reading a scroll while I see your dog?
The commercial's got, a voiceover. It's a story.
Go ahead,
sure.
Elif, hit it.
Hi, I'm Scout, and I'm a lucky dog. And it's not just because I found this cool stick, or that I was in the WeatherTech commercial on the big game last year. It's that I'm a cancer survivor, had a tumor on my heart, and only a 1% chance of survival. I'm alive thanks to a cutting-edge program at the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. Their research has the potential to save millions of pets' lives.
Pets make a difference in your life. You can make a difference in theirs. Donate now at weathertech.com/donate.
Okay, the John Williams ad meter, 100. I give that 100%. That's
well, thank you.
You might not win. It helps to, well, I was going to say it helps to have sexy girls, but it also helps to have puppies or dogs. So I like your chances now that I think about it, David.
Yeah, well, last night on TV they said Scott was the game's MVP already. most valuable puppy or most valuable player, I don't know which, but I'm excited about that. And everybody can go to weathertech.com, click on Scout's picture, takes you right to the university's website WeatherTech doesn't touch the money. 100% of it goes to the University School of Veterinary Medicine. Greatest cause ever.
Now, what a great guy. What a great cause. What a good dog. David McNeil is the founder of WeatherTech right here in River City. You see their big sign on the side of the building if you're on the Stevenson. Actually, it's 55 down there by Bolingbrook, I suppose, but you get the idea. All-American production there. Hey, David, congratulations. Thanks for your time, and our best to your dog and family.
Hey, thanks for having me on today, and good luck, everybody. Let's watch a great game.
Yeah, I'm rooting for that, too.
Always look on the bright.
We're whistling.
Always look on the light side of life.
Okay, here we go. Let's start with Dan. You're on WGN. Dan, call in. Thanks for calling in. Why are you smiling today, Dan? You're on the air.
Hi, I'm smiling because my son is a senior at Butler University, and I just made my final payment. He's my youngest, and I'm done paying for college, and he's getting out debt-free.
He's out of college jail, ladies and gentlemen. Go Bulldogs. Are you watching the Butler Bulldogs this year, Dan?
Whenever possible. Yeah, they have a chance this year, don't they?
They're pretty dang good. They break my heart sometimes. They got a big game this weekend. I will be watching it and thinking of you and your family, sir.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Life is quite absurd,
and death's the hey, Jeff, speaking of debt, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jeff?
John, I'm smiling because after 2.5 years, my wife and I have gotten out of debt too, $116,000.
Wow.
No going out to eat, no going to the movies, just working hard.
Wow.
We're so happy.
Was it student debt or just credit card stuff, that kind of thing?
Student debt, credit card, medical bills, all kinds of stuff. And my kids are happier than ever.
Wow. Oh, Jeff, congrats. You go, boy.
Yeah.
My best to your
Thanks,
family.
Man.
You betcha.
Appreciate it, John.
Let's see you top that, Lauren Lapka.
Got two weather ones for you. 773 says their bright side is we don't have the vortex weather that we had a year ago.
That's true.
So they'll take a little bit of snow. And 630 says that the snow is beautiful, so that's their bright side.
Just a little bit, and yeah, it hasn't been cold. We got to remember that. Speaking of weather, hey, Tom, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Your previous segment, sir. Long-time listener, and I took down all that information regarding the dogs and the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And that just gave hope to so many people.
Amen to that, Tom. At WeatherTech.com. Thanks for the call. I know they'll appreciate it.
You must always.
You're reading some more, Lauren Lapka?
I am, and actually a lot of dog-related ones for the bright side. 815 yeah. says that their bright side is their dog, Roxy. 219 says they're on their way to the shelter to look at two little girl dogs to adopt. Exciting.
Catherine, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
It is my husband's last day of work today before he retires.
Why are you in the bathroom?
Because I'm getting out of the shower.
Hey, I'm happy for you both. Call me in a week and tell me if him being around all day long is a good idea, okay?
I will.
Bye. Had a hunch. Let's see here. Jim, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jim? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm smiling for a couple of good reasons. One, I'm a two-time cancer survivor, 7 years.
Wow.
And the second is my firstborn daughter, Shayna, gave us our first grandchild this past Monday.
Have you seen that baby yet?
I've seen the baby, had her in my arms last night for almost 2 hours, sleeping, reading her books, even though she probably didn't hear them, but probably the best night I've had in a long time.
Attaboy, Jim. Thanks for sharing that. Lauren Lapka, you're reading the text messages.
Mm-hmm. Two unrelated but quick ones. 847, they're getting $4,700 back in taxes this year. Lucky
wow.
duck. And 630 says that their family of five survived the stomach bug. Oh, God.
Mike, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Mike? You're on the air.
Today marks 6 months of being smoke-free.
How's it going?
Great.
When do you get to the point that it's not making you crazy?
I've been past that now for, a couple months. I'm always going to want to smoke, but I don't feel like I need to.
Yeah.
So I'm tickled about that.
What's the best?
And I'm smiling and whistling.
What do you notice the most about now that you've stopped smoking?
I don't smoke.
stink.
I thought he was going to say food tastes better. I'll bet it does. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. Tammy, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Tammy? You're on the air. Hi, Tammy. Are you there?
I'm here, John.
What? You're on the air. What's your bright side?
My bright side is my beautiful, smart, intelligent daughter just got accepted to the PhD program at Notre Dame University.
Wow. Wow.
It's amazing.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
You sometimes wonder, that's my kid? Wow. Right?
I often will say that. Did I take the right kid home from the hospital, John?
Congrats. If life seems jolly, Lauren Lapka, what else are they saying?
847 says they're smiling because their 15-year-old daughter is getting her learner's permit today, and then a huge nervous emoji face.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly. How about Greg? You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Greg? You're on the air.
I'm getting my reservations as a KOA at Paris Landing, Tennessee, and me and my little baby girl, Kitty Cat, going to catch some crappies.
You're going to be the campground of America catching crappies next week, huh?
Middle of April, prime time for catching crappies down there.
Greg, have a great trip. Appreciate the call. Lauren, we're running out of time. You got another one you like?
Another really good feel-good one. 847, they're smiling because they survived breast cancer surgery 1 year ago, and now, today, cancer-free.
We do this on Friday. We ask you to call in. Tell us some good news. Tell us why you're smiling. It's called The Bright Side. Diane, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Diane?
Today's 44 years being married to my lucky husband, Don.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you, Diane. All right, last one from you, Lauren Lapka.
847 says that their daughter just got her official letter of early admittance to K-State Veterinary Medicine Class of 2024.
I think we've hit a theme today with all of this pet talk. Nice to hear from you all. We'll do it again next Friday. We'll make a little more time for it, too. I think I say that all of the time. It's 11:55, and this is GM. By the way, if it's a theme today on the pet rescue, G, I mean, we were just talking a lot about pets and pets and commercials and stuff like that, how we care for them. And my bright side is that Norman, the wiener dog that's on one of these pet rescue sites, who is a mess, old dog, has all kinds of issues, had surgery on his jaw and part of his lower jaw is missing so that his tongue is always sticking out. And he's just this sad little old wiener dog with half a jaw. And I'm thinking, no one's ever going to adopt that. There was a line of people trying to adopt this dog. And the guy that did then posted a picture of him sitting there with the dog in his lap, both of them happy as clams. And I thought, isn't that nice?
He sounds like an Instagram dog celebrity already.
Now that you mention it, that is the kind of thing that pops. What's popping on your show today?
Well, we're going to be answering any financial questions that folks have. So go ahead and jot down the number 312-981-7200. Call or text us. And John, I have a confession.
Yeah.
I am one of the confounding cat owners that
don't
understand.
No, I don't.
But I think you can find a way to love me.
I can hope. But here's the question. Could I find a way to love your cat?
You would love her. Yeah. Well, she's a little sassy.
What's your cat's name?
Sasha. Sassy Sasha.
I can't say that three times.